One of the 39 melachas of Shabbos, of course, is Bishul, as we've been discussing. And the definition of Bishul, for the melacha of Bishul on Shabbos, and with regards to all halachas that relate to Bishul, Kol HaTorah Kula, is defined as Bishul Kamaychu Ben Derusai, that would have been eaten by this Ben Derusai, who was a traveling bandit who was always on the run. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos and the Chafa Meralef, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Kol Shehu Kemaycho Ben Derusai, Ein Bo Mishum Bishulei Nachrim. Anything that has been cooked to the level that Ben Derusai, who was this traveling ganuf, would eat it on the run, that's considered cooked, and it can no longer be subject to the prohibition of Bishul Akum. If a Jew will cook it, Kemaycho Ben Derusai can no longer be prohibited by a non-Jew who will then subsequently cook it further. Because now, once it's cooked, kamaycho ben derusai, it's considered cooked. Tanya, chananya, oimer, kol shehu kamaycho ben derusai, mutar la'shoiso agavi kira. Anything that is cooked, kamaycho ben derusai, can be left on an open flame going into Shabbos, v'yafo pisha in grufu k'tumah, even though it's not covered. Which generally, if it would be uncooked, would be a violation of the isim d'rabbanan of shehiyah, leaving uncooked food on an open flame going into Shabbos, which Amir Jassim will discuss at length. Very soon. But once it's cooked, kamaycho ben derusai, then it's considered cooked, and it can be left on an open flame going into Shabbos. So that is the definition of bishul with regards to Hilchos Shabbos, with regards to bishul akum, and it seems all halachas that relate to bishul depend on this kamaycho ben derusai. How cooked is kamaycho ben derusai? How far into the cooking process? So Rashi explains in Masechta Shabbos that it's a mavasho bishulo shlish. It's a third cooked. That's kamaycho ben derusai. The Rambam in Perek Tes of Hilchos Shabbos Lachahei disagrees that it's nizbasho kulo chatzi bishul chayev, half cooked. And the Rambam just explains chatzi bishul perish kamaycho ben derusai. That's how the Rambam understood kamaycho ben derusai. Not a third cooked, but half cooked. The Mishnah Brura, it's a narration of Gimel Sekon Lamed Ches, quotes both of these opinions, and he's not machria. So either a third cooked or a half cooked. How do we assess this, though? Well, how do you define a third cooked chicken or a half cooked chicken? This seems somewhat vague. So the Chazon Ish writes in Siman Lamed Zayin Ois Vav that it's determined by taking the cooking time and dividing it in half or in thirds. So let's say something is normally cooked for 2 hours, that's 120 minutes. So according to Rashi, Kamaycho Ben Derusai would be after 40 minutes. It's already kamaycho ben derusai, a third of the time that it would spend cooking. According to the Rambam, it would be after 60 minutes. So writes the Chazon Ish, Rene Bisho, Hu tzur ba'echav o'shayach v'chatzoyim b'mido. How could we discuss half-cooked? V'tzarech v'shoyer, we're forced to say, that we have to measure this, b'zman ha'bisho, in the cooking time. So mishbasho kol tzarech v'bei shos, arboim regoim hemu shlish b'shulot. So for example, if it takes 2 hours to fully cook, a third cooked would be after 40 minutes. In more recent Svarim, in the Orchos Shabbos, which if you don't have, you should, he writes in Perek Beis, Ha'orah Zayin, that applying the Chazon Ish is somewhat difficult, even though obviously we can divide, you know the full cooking time and divide it into parts, but the truth of the matter is, most food becomes edible or even cooked at all towards the end of the cooking process. If you take chicken out after an hour, it might still be entirely unedible. So whether this really, you know, it doesn't cook uniform, you know, in a uniform fashion throughout the 2 hours. It becomes really edible towards the end of the cooking process. But either way, that's what we have to work with, is the Chazon Ish's definition, is you take the cooking time and divide it into thirds, into a third or a half. But once something is cooked, kamaycho ben derusai, however we define it, that's considered cooked with regards to Hilchos Shabbos. And if one would take an item that was wrong, cook it to this degree, he would be chai for the malacha of bishul on Shabbos. The Mishnah tells in Masechta Shabbos of kuf mem hei amibes, a rule which is usually known by a different language of ein bishul achar bishul. That once something has been cooked, let's say before Shabbos, you can no longer violate cooking on Shabbos. That formulation is never found anywhere in the Talmud Bavli or in the Mishnayos. But the Mishnah does have the rule: Kol sheba bechamin may erev Shabbos, sharon oisay bechamin b'Shabbos. Anything that was cooked from before Shabbos
can be soaked in hot water on Shabbos, and you would not violate the melacha of bishul. So if you have something that was cooked before Shabbos, we're going to discuss methods of heating up food Shabbos morning. Once it's fully cooked, you'll no longer, at least, bishul will not be a concern anymore on Shabbos. And the Mishnah continues, v'chol sheloi bo b'cham in me'ar of Shabbos, anything that was not cooked from before Shabbos, madichun oisai b'cham in b'Shabbos, can be dipped in hot water on Shabbos. We're going to have to discuss this with regards to klisheni. We'll come back to this. V'chol sheloi bo b'cham in me'ar of Shabbos, cannot be shayrin oisai, it can't be soaked, but it can be dipped in hot water on Shabbos. With the exception, chutz min hamaliyah kayosh and mekuyas haspinonin, which is a salty type of fish, shadachasen zuhi gemar malachton. Because when it's dipped even in water, that renders it edible. Before it's dipped in water, it's too salty to eat. Once it's dipped in the water, hadachasen zuhi gemar malachton, now it becomes edible. Rashi explains in the kuyas haspinonin, this salty fish, which is dipped in water, that this is a type of bishol. Even though it's not soaked, it's just dipped in the water, that's considered bishul, as Rashi writes, shezehu gmar malachton v'havi bishul. And therefore Rashi interprets the Mishnah that we're discussing only dipping it in hot water. If you dip it in hot water, so even though most raw food wouldn't be affected by just dipping it in the hot water, since this fish is affected by dipping it in the hot water, even though you're not soaking it, it would be considered bishul. And that's how the Mishnah Berurah passes when the Shulchan Aruch quotes this halacha, chutz min hamaliyah kayosh and min hadag shekoyrin kuyas hasbinyanin, that hadachas and zuig mar malachin, says the Mishnah Berurah, sevkon lamed zayin, rotza loymar bachamin, aval betzoinin mutal adicho. Let's say you have a salty fish, that the only way you can eat it is by dipping it into cold water. That of course, was never a discussion. That's not related to bishul at all. There's no heat. How could that be a violation of bishul? However, the Bir Halacha quotes from Prima Gadim had a different interpretation of this second line in the Mishnah, not like Rashi. We're not discussing bishul at all, and therefore we're not limited to hot water. For easy for Prima Gadim, Shor Shul Chadesh Dover, the Mishum Shenu Yochel Lecho Klabli Hadach Chiyuv Mishum Mak Bepatish. We're discussing not because you're going to violate bishul if you wash the salty fish and make it edible. It'll be a violation of Mak Bepatish, which is the last of the 39 malachas, the finishing touch. You took something from being unusable and you made it usable. The final hammer blow. So too over here. Then it should be also, even if it's cold water. Before it was unedible, now it's edible. It became edible through using cold water. Okay, that's makbel. But sure, there's no heat here. Okay. So it's not related to bishul, but it should be a problem of makbel patish. So the Bir Halacha writes three lines over here from the bottom. The truth of the matter is, by the way, it's not so surprising to argue that there's makbel patish by food. We find other malachas that you wouldn't imagine would exist by food, but they apply to food. For example, the Gemara says, Masechta Shabbos, Hamagabe in Chayiv Mishum Boina. Person who makes cheese is Chayiv for Boina. Because you take the cheese curdles, and then you take the solid parts, and you put it together in form of cheese. So you can have boina by food items. The Rambam explains, why is this boina? How is making cheese boina? Because v'im ganova aso gvina chai mishum boina. Kol ha-mekavetz chelek el chelek v'dovak ha-kol ha-shayasu guf echad ha-reza chai mishum boina. Anytime you take different parts and you put them together, you're chai for boina. As long as it becomes one item. The Rajba in Misaf the Shabbos of Kuf Bezim Bez is a different interpretation. That it's because chai mishum oisa kliva hubayna. You made something new. I'm sorry. Sheyesh bini ba'echlin. El sha'oisa davar mitchila chai mishum oisa kliva hubayna. It's kind of like making something that didn't exist before. And that's bayna. The Rambam explains because you're taking different parts and putting them together. That's bayna. But Avram asked parenthetically, so then how come every time you make a sandwich on Shabbos, that's not bayna? You took tuna fish, you put it together with two pieces of bread. Aren't you taking chelek of chelek? V'davak hakol shiyase guf echad. So the Magen Avram explains, the stipler has a piece of Elson is after Shabbos. That's only when it becomes one item. A tuna fish sandwich, even though we call it a tuna fish sandwich, is really just two pieces of bread with tuna fish inside. It never becomes one item. You can, they're easily separated from one another. As opposed to cheese, where once the different parts of the curdled milk are put together, it becomes, you know, it becomes one item. Therefore, Vasher Weiss suggests in Sefer Masechta the Shabbos that perhaps seven-layer cake, that's not like a tuna fish sandwich. That would be more similar to megabein, because that becomes like one item. They're not easily separated. Or maybe some have suggested sushi as well. That's like taking different parts and making a new item. That's just not, you know, seaweed, rice, fish, and, you know, vegetables. That becomes like its own item. So maybe that would be a problem, a potential problem of boina. But either way, you see that the malacha of boina could apply to food. So it's not so surprising to argue, like the Prima Gaudim, that perhaps Makaba Patish could apply to foods as well. Yeah.
So who's the one who said that it could apply to foods nowadays, like a cake or a...
Rav Asher Weiss suggested in Minchas Asher. Simen Pei Gimel. It's the Sefer Masechta Shabbos. However, the Bir Halacha asks, and three lines from the bottom back in Oisei, Aval Be'emes Lo Nehira Dabe Zeklau. And this is, he can't... endorse this to Kfar Tafas Allah Be'al Yerabi the Barashi V'Rab Mavur Lehetit Chiyuv Mishum Bisho Yerchai for Bisho Elavade the Be'elu Anyanim Lo Shayach Makba Patish. It can't be that there's Makba Patish by foods Memego the Bitzainin the Lo Shayach by Mishum Bisho Mutter. Therefore, to wash off the salty fish with cold water, he thinks is permitted. And then he goes on to bring another raya against the Prima Gaudim from something we discussed the last time, and that is, yes, why is Bisho Bachama Mutter? This Bir Halacha goes on and on. I gave you a snippet. But the Bir Halacha goes on to ask, but we know, the Gemara told us, Bishul Bechama, if you cook something in the sun directly, that's mutter on Shabbos. If it's in a Toldas HaChama, something was heated in the sun, that's also Midrabanan. You might confuse it with a pot that was heated in the fire. But let's say you cook it directly in the sun, that's mutter on Shabbos. And we explained last time at length why that is so. However, the Bir Halacha asks, but why? You took something that was previously unedible, inedible, and you made it edible by cooking it in the sun. So even if it's not bishul, because cooking in the sun is abnormal, as we discussed last time, there's no fire, but, or in the classical sense, but it should be chayv because of makabah patish. Don't you see from here that there's no makabah patish when it comes to foods? That's the raya of the Bir Halacha. So the truth of the matter is that one could argue with that raya, because that's different. See, over here, when you wash off the salty fish with cold water, it becomes immediately edible. You wash it off. Before it was inedible, you perform this process of washing it off, now it becomes edible. So it occurs immediately upon the completion of your action. However, putting something in the sun, even though it later becomes cooked, that's a process which takes time. A makabah patish never applies to a process, a prolonged process that takes time. Rashi writes in Masechta Shabbos, it has to be the finishing blow, and by definition, the finishing blow is something that happens immediately. The Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, in the fine Dalam Abayz, that a person who makes a chavis, which is an earthenware container on Shabbos, could conceivably be chayv for seven chatos. He could violate seven malachas in the process. And one of them is not, though, makabah patish. The finishing, concluding touches on an item. So Rashi Masechta Shabbos over there explains about Gabi Chavis, Lekam Ishum Makabah Patish. There's no Makabah Patish, the final hammer blow, when you create this earthenware utensil, because the final concluding process of creating this earthenware utensil was to put it into a kiln, into an oven where it would get hot, and that was that's how you, everyone knows how to make pottery now, because it's a pastime. The pottery painting, but everybody knows it has to be heated. So Rashi writes, "If Agav Chavis Lekem Mishum Makabah Patish Demele Nigmaro Malachto Betanor." It happens by itself, meaning it's a process that happens in an oven. It doesn't happen right away, and therefore there's no Makabah Patish. So similarly, Minchas Chinuch writes, "The Makabah Patish Ein Odayim Laafiu Ubisho." Minchas Chinuch Malachas Ha'efa Oizayin writes, "Makabah Patish not similar to cooking or baking." You put something in an oven or on top of a stove. After b'shas hamadav anocha eino chayiv, you're not going to be chayiv right away. Rakal achar kach shenef min isbashel mayas machayiv. When it comes to cooking, even though it's a process, you're chayiv, since in the end it will become cooked. Even though at the conclusion, you know, at the moment that you put it on, doesn't become cooked, you set a process of motion, and there's certain malachas that are defined by a process. You plant the seed in the ground, it later grows, you're still chayiv, even though it doesn't happen right away. You put something in an oven, it later gets cooked, you're chayiv, even though it doesn't happen right away. Mikom makom b'makom b'patish enokain. Makom b'patish, you're not chayiv for setting a series of events in motion. Rather, it has to conclude with your action. If it doesn't happen right away, you can't be chayv for makom b'patish. So, therefore, one could argue that the raya from Bishul B'Chama is not a raya. The Be'er Halacha tried to prove from the fact that Bishul B'Chama cooking the sun is mutar on Shabbos that there's no makom b'patish by Eichlin. However, that's not necessarily the case. The reason why there's no makom b'patish when you put something in the sun is because it doesn't get cooked right away. You set a process in motion, but makom b'patish never applies to a process, only when it concludes with your action. So, even though there's no makom b'patish when you put something in the sun that later gets cooked, one could argue that there is makom b'patish when you take salty fish and you wash it off, even in cold water. So that's why the Prima Gadim was of the opinion that just like Baina applies to Eichlin, makom b'patish could perhaps apply to Eichlin. Well, you could not wash off the salty fish even in cold water. Not like Rashi and many other Rishonim who assume that washing off the salty fish and making it edible is not makom b'patish, it's rather a form of bishul, and therefore we must be discussing hot water. However, moving back to the first line in the Mishnah, which told us, Kol Sheva B'Chama Me Erev Shabbos, Sharon Asay B'Chama B'Shabbos, once something is cooked from Erev Shabbos, you can not only dip it in hot water on Shabbos, you can even soak it in hot water on Shabbos, which is the basis of the statement of the Rishonim that Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. Once something has been cooked from before Shabbos, you can't violate Bishul any longer on Shabbos. However, there seems to be a fundamental machlokes harishonim, which applies again not only in Hilchos Shabbos but throughout Kol HaTorah Kula, as we attempt to define Bishul, as to the parameters of this rule of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. Once something has been cooked, it can't be cooked again. So the Rambam writes in Perek Tes of Hilchos Shabbos Halacha Gimel over here, Oisir Aleph, HaMavashal Al Ha'ur, Dover Shai Mavushal Kol Tzarkoi. A person cooks something that was fully cooked. O Dover She'eno Tzarech Bishul Klal. Something which doesn't need cooking. Let's assume for the moment it could be eaten raw. Potter is not chayiv for cooking on Shabbos. The Magen Mishnah disagrees. V'das HaRashba, I'm sorry, of course the Rashba disagrees. V'das HaRashba, V'ksas Me'mafarshin, She'kol Shenis Vaisel K'maykel Ben Derusoi, Shuv Ein Bo Mishum Chiyuv Bishul Dvar Torah. Once something has been cooked, Michael ben Derusoi, you can no longer be chayev for Bishul on Shabbos. So the Rambam assumed in order to apply the rule of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, the item has to have been fully cooked. According to the Rashba, once it's cooked, Michael ben Derusoi, already you can't violate Bishul any longer. We'd apply the principle of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. And it seems that the Rambam and the Rashba are perhaps arguing about the definition, in terms of how to apply the rule of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, they're really arguing about the definition of Bishul vis-a-vis Hilchos Shabbos and perhaps even in Kol HaTorah Kula. And that is that according to the Rashba, it seems that the definition of Bishul is taking something from being raw to being cooked. And once it reaches the state of K'maychol Ben Derusoi, where you would already violate the Malach of Bishul, that's called cooked. And therefore, once it's K'maychol ben Derusoi, it's cooked, you can no longer violate Bishul again, a second time, Ein Bishul, Achar Bishul. And what is the definition of Bishul, at least in Hilchos Shabbos and perhaps in Kol HaTorah Kula, is taking something from being raw to being cooked, and therefore once it's minimally cooked, it's cooked, you can no longer violate Bishul again, Ein Bishul, Achar Bishul. However, according to the Rambam, it seems that the definition of Bishul is not taking something from being raw to being cooked, but rendering something edible, or perhaps even more edible than it was previously. So therefore, according to the Rambam, if you cook a K'maychol ben Derusoi, you took it from being completely inedible to being minimally edible. Okay, you violate Bishul. But that doesn't mean that it's fully edible, and therefore if a person takes an item from being minimally edible to fully edible, one could violate Bishul a second time. And therefore, the only time we would apply the rule of ein bishul acha bishul, according to the Rambam, is when something is fully cooked. Once it's fully cooked, it's completely edible to everyone. So now, when we could apply the rule of ein bishul acha bishul, once it's been cooked, it can't violate bishul again. So it seems that the Rambam and the Rashba are arguing about what is the definition of bishul. According to the Rashba, it's taking an item from being raw to being cooked. But once it's cooked, it's cooked. However, you know, a halachic status of cooked. And that's reached kamaichav understanding. Therefore, you can't apply bishul. You can't violate bishul again. We apply ein bishul acha bishul. According to the Rambam, the definition of bishul is making something edible, and therefore that could come in stages. You took something being completely inedible to being now minimally edible, and then one can take it further from being minimally edible to fully edible. And we'd only apply the rule of ein bishul acha bishul once it's cooked, cold sarkon. This machlokes perhaps exists with regards to bishul akum as well. Because we're arguing, we're perhaps a machlokes about how to define bishul, which should apply in other areas. So the Gemara says in Masechtas Avodah Zarah, if you turn the page to Oisiyu Gimel, the Gemara says, "Ha'amar Rav Asi, Rav Yochanan, Kol Shu Kamaichol Ben Derusai, Ein Bo Mishum Bishulei Oivdei Kachovim." The same as the Gemara had in Masechtas Shabbos, we began with Hadaf Chofa Merama. Once something is cooked by a Jew, Kamaichol Ben Derusai, even if a non-Jew will now come and participate in the cooking process, it no longer can violate, it will no longer be subject to prohibition of bishul akum. Ha eino kamaichol ben derusai? Yesh bo mishum bishulei avdei kachavim. If it was not cooked kamaichol ben derusai, then it can be subject to the problem, the prohibition of bishul akum. So Gemara says, though, that's only kagon da'oisi besilta v'shakle avdei kachavim v'oisi b'tanura. If a Jew, let's say, puts something on a stovetop, and then it's going to continue to cook, you know, if you would leave it alone, it will cook fully, kamaichol ben derusai, just because a nachri comes and stirs the pot, that doesn't create a problem. As we know, a Jew lights a fire, a nachri comes later and puts food on top of the fire, at least the way Ashkenazim paskin, the food is okay, as long as the Jew sets the process in motion. But let's say a Jew begins the cooking process and it becomes stunted. It stops completely. The fire goes out, or the pot is taken off and put basilta in a cabinet. Now a nachri comes and he puts it back on top of the fire. Before it got to Michael ben Drusoy, you know, through the efforts of the Jew, now it could be subject to the problem of bishul akum. The window is still open for bishul akum. But once it's cooked to Michael ben Drusoy, even if the process is stopped completely, and a non-Jew comes and continues the cooking process or restarts it, the window is closed for bishul akum, can no longer be subject to the problem of bishul akum, since the Jew already cooked it kamaichol ben derusai. Okay, once it's minimally cooked by the Jew, the non-Jew will come later on and participate in the cooking. Even if the non-Jew will restart the cooking that had stopped, doesn't matter, no longer subject to the problem of bishul akum. If it's less than kamaichol ben derusai, the window is still open. If it becomes stunted and the non-Jew will come and restart it, will be subject to the problem of bishul akum. What about in the reverse? What if a non-Jew cooked a kamaichol ben derusai, and now a Jew will come, and then it stops, and a Jew will come and continue in the cooking process. Let's say it didn't even stop. A non-Jew puts a pot on top of the fire, gets cooked kamaichol ben derusai, and then a Jew comes and stirs the pot. But it was already cooked kamaichol ben derusai by the non-Jew. So writes the Rosh, the name Rabbeinu Chananel, Ra'isi Misha Asa, this Rabbeinu Chananel, Tav Shu Shabish Lo'ev Dekokam and Kamaichol Ben Drusai Begomer Yisrael. If it was cooked Kamaichol Ben Drusai and a Jew came along and completed the cooking process, it's prohibited. V'ra'ayosai Midasharinan. The Gemara said, if a Jew cooks a Kamaichol Ben Drusai and a non-Jew finishes the cooking process, that's still permitted since a Jew cooked a Kamaichol Ben Drusai. The same should be true in the reverse. If a non-Jew cooks a Kamaichol Ben Drusai, so then even though the Jew later on participates, doesn't matter. The same should be true in the reverse. Once it's cooked, and it doesn't matter what takes place subsequently. There's no cooking after cooking. Then the Rosh disagrees. It's only the kula, this rule. If a Jew cooks a kamaichol ben derusai, even though a non-Jew later on comes and participates in the cooking or restarts it, it's permitted. But if a non-Jew cooks a kamaichol ben derusai, then a Jew finishes the cooking, it doesn't remain prohibited. Now it becomes permitted. The window is not closed. Once the Jew cooks it, the window is closed for the non-Jew. But once it's, even though the non-Jew has cooked, the window is not closed for the Jew to participate and permit the food. What's the difference? The argument of Rabbeinu Chananel seems compelling. Why does the Rosh disagree? And I believe that Rabbeinu Chananel and the Rosh are arguing about this same Nekuda that was the Machlekes between the Rambam and the Rashba. According to Rabbeinu Chananel, he defines Bishul like the Rashba. Bishul is taking an item from being raw to being cooked. And that doesn't come in stages. Once it's minimally cooked, that's cooked. You can no longer take something from being minimally cooked to fully cooked because it didn't start out being raw. The definition of Bishul is uncooked to cooked. Therefore, once it's minimally cooked, it's cooked. You can no longer violate Bishul, get named Bishul Acha Bishul. So therefore, the Rabbeinu Chananel is of the opinion that just like a Jew who takes an item from being raw to being cooked, a status of cooked, which just happens when it's minimally cooked, Michael Ben Dusoy, so then the item remains, eternally permitted, and the non-Jew, even though later on participates, can't prohibit the item. The same should be true in the reverse. When a non-Jew takes the item from being raw to being cooked, that's bishalakum, and it doesn't matter what the Jew does subsequently, because the window has been closed. It's already been taken from being raw to being cooked, from uncooked to cooked, halachically. However, the Rosh perhaps seems to understand, like the Rambam, that the definition of bishul in Kol Torah Kula is not taking something from being raw or uncooked to being cooked, that transformation. It's rather taking something being inedible to being edible, which could come in stages, and therefore if something is minimally edible, it could become more edible. So therefore, if a Jew takes an item from being minimally, inedible to minimally edible, so then he's already participated in the cooking process in a significant fashion, even if a non-Jew will later on come and participate. Doesn't matter, because the Jew already participated in a significant fashion. It's no longer defined by the actions of the non-Jew. It can be permitted. However, that would not necessarily be the same in the reverse. Just because a non-Jew took something from being inedible and he made it minimally edible, the window of Bishul is now fully closed. We wouldn't apply Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, according to the Rambam, until the item becomes fully cooked. Because Bishul could come in stages, according to the Rambam. So even though something is minimally edible, if the Jew will take it and make it completely edible, then he has participated in the Bishul process, and it wouldn't be labeled as Bishul Akum, it would in fact be permitted. Because once a Jew participates in any fashion in the cooking process, that permits the item no different than a Jew who lights a flame, which a non-Jew then later comes and puts a pot on top of the flame, that's not a problem of Bishul Akum. But according to the Rosh, seems to have understood the definition of Bishul in a similar fashion to the Rambam, that we wouldn't apply Ein Bishul Acha Bishul until something is fully cooked, completely edible, because Bishul is defined by taking something being edible, inedible, or minimally edible, and making it fully edible, and therefore if a Jew participates even towards the end of the cooking process, it would be permitted. The Rambam, therefore, understandably, feels, since he defines Bishul in this fashion, that's where the Rambam concludes the end of Perek Tes Halacha Gimel, that not only do we apply the rule of Ein Bishul Acha Bishul to something that's fully cooked, but so too to something davar she'eino tzarach bishul klal, something which is edible raw, is also not subject to melacha bishul on Shabbos. So when the Rambam says davar she'eino tzarach bishul klal, the Eglei Tal quotes from many classical achrayim who define the Minchas Kohen, the Radvaz, Rabbi Kiva Eger. This is the Eglei Tal, if you want to look it up, in Sivkot and Yud Tes, Melechas Eifah, defines it as something which is Nechol Kmo Shuchai, something which could be eaten raw. That since it could be eaten raw, it's edible as it is, you can't violate the Melech HaBishul. Why? Why can't you violate the Melech HaBishul? Why is it different than any other raw item? The answer is, because according to the Rambam, what is the definition of Bishul? It's taking something being inedible and making it edible. But this is edible Kmo Shuchai. It's edible Kmo Shuchai. Like a... It's edible as it is, a carrot, an apple. You can eat it as it is. So therefore, there's no one that can't violate the melacha bishul if you cook it on Shabbos. It was edible already. Ein bishul, acha bishul. However, according to the Rashba, that the definition of bishul on Shabbos is taking something from being raw to being cooked. That should apply equally to something which is inedible when it's raw as to something that's edible when it's raw. Doesn't matter. shouldn't discriminate. And therefore, according to the Rajba, one would presumably be chayiv on Shabbos for cooking even a raw item, which is edible, which is edible in its raw state. And in fact, the Ramah disagrees. Look over here, the Ramah, Ois Yudalad, Nishin Yud Chesif Yudalad. The Ramah is discussing the prohibition of Bishma on Shabbos. Vahu hadin bepeirois. Oishar dvar min echalim kamoi shehen chayin. The Malach of Bishma applies equally to items that are edible raw, such as fruit or vegetables or any other item which is edible raw. If one would cook it on Shabbos, you would violate the Malach of Bishol, which seems to conform with the understanding of the Rashba, that the definition of Bishol on Shabbos is taking something being raw to being cooked. Whereas according to the Rambam, the definition of Bishol on Shabbos is taking something being inedible, making it edible, would not apply to something which is edible already, kamoi shehu chai. Just like something which is already cooked can't be cooked again, ein bishol achar bishol, so to something which is edible in its raw state, we would apply the rule of ein bishol achar bishol. That's what should have been according to the Rambam. However, the Or Zeruah already, that sounds very extreme. You could cook a raw apple on Shabbos. So Or Zeruah already hedges a little bit and backs away from this extreme position of the Rambam, and argues that even according to the Rambam, something that is improved by the Bishol, one would also violate Bishol on Shabbos. Alpha P, even though it was edible raw, but if it gets improved by the Bishol, even the Rambam would have to concede that you'd violate the Malach of Bishol. Because there is a rule, right? Alpha P, Shinachal, and Kamoish, and Chayin, Yej Ben Mishum Bishol. Why? Shrei Mismak Mek Tamam. The flavor is improved. Umishtana Latam Acher. The flavor is altered. So even though it was fully edible, the equivalent of mavusha called tzarkoi, but it is improved by the bishol, we got it. You have to be, you must violate bishol if you cook it on Shabbos. K'shem ishbash and v'afo gav delin and bishul akum. I mean, and kol davar shenachol k'mo shulchai eimbo mishum bishul akum. Here it, he can't accept that. You know, something which is edible raw is not a subject to the problem of Bishol Akum. Here he suggests anything that's improved by the Bishol would be a problem. I'll get to this question in 1 second. The Shaar HaTzion as well can't stomach, you know, the extreme, what should have been the Pashup Shalt in the Rambam. He writes, V'nei Bar Rambam, Kas of the Mavashul Davish Mavushul Kol Tzarko Ein, Oshe Ein Tzarech Bishol Klal Pater, Sizu Pashup La'anias Daiti, Danu Davar, like the Or Zeruah, Danu Davar Shein Mishtabeach Klal Al Yedei HaBishol. Something which is not improved at all through the bishul. As opposed to a cooked apple or cooked carrots, which is now tzimis, you know, that's improved through the bishul, must be, according to the Rambam, yachayim for bishul in that situation. Yeah.
So according to the orders of Rav, what would the Rambam have been referring to with
it means it doesn't. It's not improved even through the bishul.
But like, what is that like practically? Like,
many people don't like cooked carrots. I don't know. You know, there could be things that would prefer raw carrots. There are things that are, I don't know. I gave the example of baked apples. Some people might prefer raw apples. So I'm saying that there might be things which we would universally prefer raw as opposed to cooked. In which case, but anything that is preferable, you know, which is improved by cooking it.
But it wouldn't be subjective, though.
I don't know if it's subjective to the person. It probably is subjective to culture, society in general. But anything we as a society would deem preferable raw, overcooked.
It's like bishul on
yom. Maybe. I don't know. Good question. I would have said the Rama means like they go tell that anything that's edible raw. Not that I'm disagreeing with, you know, with the person we mentioned, but. That's the direction of Shabru. I'm saying the Pashup Shalt in the Rambam is anything that's edible raw is not subject to prohibition of Bishul on Shabbos.
Cook lettuce, right? So lettuce would certainly be mutter according to the Shaar HaTzion.
Or cooked cabbage, yeah.
Or cooked.
Yeah, cabbage soup. Cabbage. Yeah, yeah.
They do that.
Right.
Nobody cooks lettuce as far as I know. So that would be.
Right, so you wouldn't violate Bishul. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. But one could have argued, again, this Pashup Shalt in the Rambam is it applies to anything that's eaten raw, you know, even carrots and apples, even if they are improved by the Bishol. The Shaar HaTzion brings a raya to his position, however, the raya is somewhat suspicious. The Shaar HaTzion brings a raya over here, Teda, da lo muhok b'gemara b'shabbos, demay v'yesh b'mishum bishol. We know water, there's Bishol with water on Shabbos. If you heat water, you're chai for bisho. Oh, but water is consumed raw. You can drink cold water, geschmack, ice water. So how could it be bisho by water? According to the Rambam, bisho is water is nechol kmo shuchai. So must be very mayim gam ken shoyzen so kmo shuchai. Must be because when you heat water, now you can make tea. That's improved. So it must be if you only improve something according to the Rambam, you also violate bisho. That the truth of the matter is, you could argue that that's not the same as there's no raya from water to foods that are nechol kmo shuchai, because the definition of bisho with regards to water is certainly going to be different than the definition of bisho with regards to foods, which is something we're going to discuss at length also, by virtue of the fact that it has an entirely different shear. The bisho definition of cooking when it comes to liquids is going to be yad soledes bo. It becomes so hot that your hand would recoil. It has nothing to do with being edible and being nechol kamaichol ben derusoi. Heating water, a liquid, entirely different than heating foods. Foreshadowing to things to come. Okay, so that's why the raya from water is I don't know if it's the strongest raya to support the position of the Orz HaRuach. This though, machloikis though, between the Rambam and the Ramah with regards to cooking items that are already edible raw, also applies with regards to bishalak, and perhaps to see these two perspectives as well. The Gemara says in Maseches Avodah Zarah, which was already mentioned by the Orz HaRuach, kol anecho kamoshu chai ein bo mishum bishul ovde kachovim. Anything which is edible raw is not subject to the prohibition of bishul akum. Why not? So Rashi Maseches Be'ah explains the kevan shenecho kamoshu chai ein o bishul. Something which is edible raw, if you later cook it, that's not called bishul. The Ran disagrees. The Ran Masech Tzvei says, "Afo pi she'ein bo mishum bishulei nachrim, la mishum deloy nahavi tafshil." It's not because it's not considered cooked. Certainly, it's considered cooked. Why doesn't bishulakum apply? Because the whole prohibition of bishulakum, because Chazal prohibited us from eating items that were cooked by non-Jews, lest the person be so taken by this food that he marry the daughter of the chef in order to have a lifetime supply of this food item. And no one is going to marry the daughter of a chef in order to get baked apples or cook carrots, which are necho kmo shuchai. I can eat it raw. I don't have to marry the daughter of the chef in order to get the food item. If he makes something which you can't get otherwise, okay, maybe bishulakum would apply, that you might marry the guy's daughter in order to have a lifetime supply of the food, but if it's necho kmo shuchai, no one's, the fear didn't exist. However, according to the Ran, it is considered cooked. Of course it's cooked, even though it's necho kmo shuchai. And Rashi disagrees, perhaps again arguing about the same Nakuda, which is, what is the definition of bishul? If the definition of bishul is taking something from being raw to being cooked, it should apply equally to the davar shenechol kmo shulchai. But if the definition of bishul is taking something from being inedible to making it edible, so as long as it's edible, kmo shulchai, bishul shouldn't apply. How do we paskin on this issue? How to define bishul? Do we paskin like the Rashba? Do we paskin like the Rambam? Which applied to two issues. Number one, when do we apply the rule of ein bishul acha bishul? When is it permitted to reheat something on Shabbos in a permitted fashion? Is it only when it's fully cooked? Or once it's even cooked kamaichol ben derusoi, I can already heat it again on Shabbos. I don't have to be concerned with bishul. And it would apply as well to cooking. Do I have to be concerned with heating items on Shabbos that could be nechol kmo shulchai? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, if you look back, Ois Yud Beis. I don't know what happened to the rest of the text. All right, I had the rest of the beer left in here. It seems it got cut off. But the Shulchan Aruch paskins with Mloy Nisbasho called Sarkai, Vafiu Nisbasho Kamaichol Ben Derusoi Shaych Babisho. Once the item, that even though an item is already cooked Kamaichol Ben Derusoi, Bisho still applies. When would Bisho cease to be a concern in terms of when reheating items at Shabbos? It's only when it's cooked cold sarkoi. So who does the Shulchan Aruch paskin like? Paskin's like the Rashba. I'm sorry, like the Rambam. That the only time we apply ein bishul acha bishul is when something has been fully cooked, which is very relevant. Therefore, a person, let's say, has a chicken which was not fully cooked, no matter how you heat it up on Shabbos morning, we're going to discuss permitted ways of reheating food Shabbos morning, none of them will be permitted until the item is fully cooked. If the item was never fully cooked, We don't have to we'll be concerned with the Surim Durabanan of reheating food Shabbos morning. You have to worry about the Malacha of Bishul Dairaisa.
But if it's fully cooked, but it still can be improved.
We're going to get to that. It's called Mitztamek V'yafaloi, but let's assume you can't violate the Isur of Bishul any longer. Fully cooked is fully cooked. Even if it is Mitztamek V'yafaloi, we're going to call it, the longer it cooks, the more schmaltzy, the more geschmack it gets, a chulent. It was just fully cooked, let's say, after 3 hours. If it cooks for 13, it's, you know, noch besser. It's also better even. That's but once it's fully cooked, it's fully cooked.
Maybe.
Can't violate Bishul any longer. So the Shulchan Aruch passes, in order to even discuss reheating foods on Shabbos, to apply the rule of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, would have to be fully cooked. Does not subscribe to the Rajba that once it's cooked Kamaichel Ben Drusai, we would already apply the rule of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. And the Be'er Halacha jumps all over the Shulchan Aruch. As he says, Hinei Lepela Be'enai, you can look it up, I don't know why it got truncated over here. But once, the Be'er Halacha says, why is he passing like the Rambam? Many Rishonim held like the Rajba, that we could apply Ein Bishul Achar Bishul once it's cooked Kamaichel Ben Drusai. And but then later on, the Be'er Halacha finds many other Rishonim who side with the Rambam, perhaps justifying why the Shulchan Aruch passing like the Rambam. However, the Rama later on in Shin Yud Ches Yud Daud, we already saw it, was machmir that cooking applies even to items are nechok kmo shuchai. That doesn't seem to be like the Rambam. That seems to be like the Rashba. That the definition of cooking on Shabbos is not taking something from being inedible and making it edible, or from minimally edible to being a fully edible, it's taking something being raw to being cooked. So here he's siding with the Rajba. That seems to be against what the Shulchan Aruch quoted earlier from the Rambam, his definition of Bishul, which is taking something being minimally edible to making it fully edible. So we get perhaps contradictory implications from the Shulchan Aruch and from the Rama. However, Rebulig once suggested that perhaps they're not contradictory implications, and this would perhaps solve the problem that was raised by the Be'er Halacha. Why did the Shulchan Aruch choose to pass like the Rambam and not like Roiv HaRishonim, perhaps to subscribe to the position of the Rajba? Rebulig suggested that the Shulchan Aruch is not paskening being machriya like the Rambam, he's being chayshesh for the Rambam. That we have to be afraid that even though something is cooked Kamaichel Ben Drusai, you can still violate Bishul. But he never closed the door on the Rajba. He was being chayshesh for both shitas. He wasn't being machriya. And therefore, understandably, the Rama then later on is machmir for the Rajba. That cooking would apply to davar shenechok kmo shuchai. We have to be chayshesh that Bishul is not making something from edible to inedible to edible, or minimally edible to fully edible, but is taking something raw to being cooked, which should apply equally to items that are neachok kmo shuchai, to items that are edible raw. So perhaps Shulchan Aruch is being chayshesh for both opinions. We will continue. He suggested perhaps that's the suffix of the Minchas Chinuch, the Prima Gadol, we mentioned last time. If you remember, the Minchas Chinuch, the Prima Gadol, had a suffix. But what if I take, we mentioned earlier, if I cook something in the sun, you don't violate the Malacha of Bishul, directly in the sun. That's the Gemara, which we saw. What if I have something that was cooked in the sun, or we discussed, you know, modern equivalent of that would maybe perhaps be a microwave or something, which might be told to Sachama, maybe. But I cook something in the sun, and later on cook it on top of a flame. Do we apply the rule of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul or not? The first time, you didn't violate Bishul, because you cooked it in the sun, but now you put it on top of a flame. Yeah, but the mice, it's cooked, you cooked it in the sun. That's the subject of the Minchas Chinuch, Prima Gadol. Would we apply the rule of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul to something that was first cooked in the sun and then later put on top of a flame? So it will suggest that perhaps the subject of the Minchas Chinuch, the Prima Gadol, revolves around this machlekes between the Rambam and the Rashi as to how to define Bishul. If Bishul is defined by taking something from being halachically raw to halachically cooked, so something that was cooked in the sun is arguably not considered cooked. And therefore, when I later put it on a fire, I could now violate Bishul. And we wouldn't apply the rule of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, because it was never halachically cooked. The first time it was only cooked in the sun. However, according to the Rambam, the definition of Bishul is taking something from being inedible and making it edible, or minimally edible, making it fully edible. So then, this item, which became edible by putting it in the sun, is no different than an item which is edible raw that I could put on a flame on Shabbos. So according to the Rambam, there shouldn't be a problem taking an item that was cooked in the sun and later putting it on top of the fire, and we would apply the rule of ein bishul acha bishul because it was already edible by sitting in the sun. So Rabbi Bullock argued, based on his, and we suggested last time that the suffix of the Minchaskin of the Prima Gadim perhaps is a function or revolves around the Machleitz and Rav Meisher and Rav Shlomo Zalman is cooking in the sun called cooking, just you're not chayev, or perhaps it's not called cooking since there's no traditional flame here. However, Rabbi Bullock suggested his interpretation of this suffix of the Minchaskin of the Prima Gadim revolves around this issue between the Rambam and the Rashba as to how to define Bishol. Is it taking something being raw and to be halachically cooked? Or is it taking something being inedible, making it edible? And therefore, Rabbi Bullock suggests that we have to be, since the Shulchan Aruch is not machriya in this machlokes, he's machmir both for the Rambam and the Rashba. We're machmir that in order to reheat something Shabbos morning, it has to be fully cooked. At the same time, we're machmir for the Rashba that one cannot cook for the first time raw items, even though they're edible in their raw state. So too, we should be machmir in this suffix of the Minchaskin of the Prima Gadim. You should not reheat items on top of a flame, which were, even though they were already cooked, if the first time they were cooked in a microwave. So let's say you have rice that was cooked in a microwave the first time, or baked potato that was cooked in a microwave for the first time. You shouldn't reheat it Shabbos morning on top of a flame in any circumstances, you know, any type of flame, even a flame that might be permitted generally to reheat items Shabbos morning. Should not reheat this item that was only cooked for the first time in equivalent of bishul b'chama, like in a microwave. Because we're chayshish for both opinions, the Rambam and the Rashba, but we should be chayshish here as well. Okay.